is an old proverb that I think we've all heard that says, talk is
cheap.
Right, yeah. We've all had people make promises to us and not keep them. Or say things that their actions don't quite live up to. Things are easier said
than done.
Actions speak
louder than words.
Yeah. All of these old sayings lead us to think that words aren't important, and what we say doesn't really mean that much. The scripture that my dad just read this morning in the story of Pentecost, which we celebrate today, contradicts that old wisdom. It's not to say that what you do isn't important, but the story of Pentecost reminds us that what we say, how we speak, what language we use, these things are all incredibly significant. Words have power. That's true on a larger scale. Our country was made possible by words that are written in a document called the
Constitution,
right? We've got some very important words in there that keep our country the way it is. But it's also true that words have power in our daily conversations, even if sometimes we don't quite know about it. I can give you an example from someone that you know very well. Our very own Pastor Courtney was telling me a story just last week about a situation in which words did have real power. Back when she was at seminary studying with my dad, who's here, she was studying in this beautiful old study hall, this 200-year-old building on campus, where a lot of people like to study and read together. And being Courtney, she starts talking with one of the other students there. She finds herself in a conversation with another student. And they're cramming for their Old Testament exam or whatever. And the other student communicates to Courtney that she's having a really hard time keeping up with the work. It's hard, so I can't blame her. But Courtney doesn't really remember what she said exactly that night, but I'm sure it was something reassuring related to God's faithfulness or something or another. But sure enough, 2 years after that night, when they were studying together on graduation day, the other student comes up to Courtney and says, and offers a heartfelt thank you. And she says to Courtney, "You know, I never would have made it through seminary without what you said that night." Courtney doesn't even really quite remember what it was, but she said something that connected to that woman, that allowed her and empowered her to persevere and earn a seminary degree. Because words have power. I'm sure you've had an experience like that. A word of comfort, encouragement, a card in your mailbox, even a text message or a phone call from a friend can change your week or change your life. 2 years ago, my dad sent me an email as I was considering moving to Spain, and he said some wonderful, powerful things to me about our faith and about following your heart. I'm sure he doesn't even realize how important the words were that he used or even remember what he said, but I've read that email out loud to at least 4 different people. I could tell him what he said if he forgets. And it changed my life. Because words have power. Words have power. What's remarkable about Pentecost, though, is not just that words have power, but words are sometimes the very thing that God uses to communicate with us. We are told over and over and over again in the Bible that God speaks to his people. He spoke to Noah. He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Moses. He spoke to the prophets. He speaks to his people. I think a lot of times we expect God to communicate with us through things like the burning bush, right? A miraculous sign of his power. We imagine that God speaks through a lightning storm, or through a smile, or through a piece of music. And that is true, God does speak through visions and miracles and circumstances. But we cannot forget the ways that God speaks to us through words, through language. Yes, there was a burning bush. But as Moses drew close to that burning bush, God spoke to him. God called his name, Moses, Moses. And he said, take off your shoes, right? For this is holy ground. He told Moses to come encounter God. And then he said, bring my people out of Egypt. God spoke to Moses with words. I think it's only natural that we're a little uncomfortable with the idea of God speaking to us like that. As Pastor Courtney mentioned last week, right? If you say to a friend that God speaks to you and tells you things and tells you to do things, they might think you ought to process that with a psychiatric professional. I'm not saying that God doesn't sometimes speak in those ways, because he does. But in the story of Pentecost that we celebrate today, that's not what happens. In this story, God speaks through the mouths of the followers of Jesus. Let's recap the story, shall we? The apostles are trying to figure out what to do. Jesus died, and he came back. And he visited with them for a little while, but now he's ascended to heaven. It's been about a week. What are they supposed to do? What are they going to do? So they're praying together in this house, and we're not sure. It could be the place that he was in the upper room, the place where they had the Last Supper with Jesus. Or maybe they're in the house of God, the temple, the church. Wherever they are, they're in a house. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, which Jesus had promised would come to his friends after he was crucified, shows up. Makes a whole bunch of noise. What does the Holy Spirit do? What's the first thing that happens? It doesn't just send them outside to heal people or perform miracles, although it does that. But the first thing it does is it moves in each of Jesus' followers, in Peter and James and John and all the 12 of Jesus' best friends, and it empowers them to speak with words. With words, we're told about God's deeds of power, about God's mercy. To all of the visitors that day to Jerusalem, from that whole long list of a dozen and a half provinces all over the continent. And empowered by the Holy Spirit, they speak in the visitors, the foreign languages, with words they don't even know. They were Galileans, unfamiliar with Phrygian and Cappadocian. They might as well have been speaking Russian or French or Mandarin Chinese. But God spoke through them, just as God spoke through Courtney to her study buddy in seminary, not even really knowing the power of what she was saying in that moment. God spoke through the apostles to those visitors who didn't yet know about Jesus in ways that spoke to them and moved them. And move them to follow Jesus too. Just shortly after the text that my dad read, 3,000 of the visitors who hear the apostles speaking in their own language repent and are baptized. 3,000. That's why a lot of churches celebrate today, the day of Pentecost, as the church's birthday, and given Donna's generous cupcakes, we get two as well. When the Holy Spirit moves us and enables us to witness to God's power and glory, that speaks to people. And it enables us to build a community. Because it takes language, it takes words to build a community. I don't know if you've ever been abroad. Who's been abroad? Traveled abroad internationally? All right. So I have. Maybe you can kind of empathize with this. When I lived in the Czech Republic, I lived there for a year, and I really sensed how much language makes a community, or makes you not part of that community, if you don't speak the local language, right? I remember when I was there, we would sit in the subway, my American friends and I, And it felt like we were on another level of the world. And we just weren't connected to the people around us. We would sit in the subway, and because other people couldn't understand us, and we couldn't understand them, I remember we could just say, oh man, I love her dress. Or, check out that guy's haircut. Oh, you know, or so whatever. And it was in English, so no one understood, so I could say whatever I wanted, you know. That's what makes us a community, is the words that we use and the ways that we are able to communicate. But what the Holy Spirit does is enable us to communicate, to witness to Jesus and his mercy on the cross. It enables us to say together that Jesus is Lord. It brings us here on Sunday morning to confess together what's wrong with our lives and to hear the words of assurance of God's mercy. It speaks through us when we claim together the Apostles' Creed, that we believe in God the Father, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, and in the Holy Spirit, and in the universal church. We all are a community of confessing Christians. And when we claim together that Jesus has died on our behalf, and forgiven all of our sins. There's no language barrier. That is the language that makes this community what it is. But it also empowers us to witness to those things, to God's grace, outside of this community too. On Pentecost, the words that Jesus' disciples use are carried outside of the house of prayer to those who need to hear words of God's great deeds. Because words have power, and because God speaks through us to his people, both inside and outside of this place. I gotta say, that's one of my favorite things about our faith as Presbyterians, is how strongly we believe that God works through everything, including the words of a friend, the email from a dad, conversation with a fellow student. So this morning, on this celebration of Pentecost, I urge you to think about how God is speaking to you. What words God is using to communicate with you. And what words the Holy Spirit might be putting in you that someone else here or outside of the church needs to hear. Follow Paul's instructions from the letter to Colossians when he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. Well, let's close this morning's worship by singing the second and third verses of Open My Eyes, asking God to open our ears to hear his word and our mouths to witness.